spreadsheets, clunky software, 100 different logins just to run your business? Ah.
There's a better way. Odoo. One simple, connected platform that handles sales, inventory, accounting, and more. So you can focus on growing, not juggling. Make the switch today at odoo.com. That's O-D-O-O.com.
Sound of a whippoorwill. It's the sound of a whippoorwill.
And the sound of a whippoorwill.
And the sound of a whippoorwill. Yeah. Do you think that's going to get included?
Yeah.
Could you paint me in Birmingham?
That's a different song.
Make it look just the way I plan. A little house on the edge of town.
Porch going all the way around.
This is why we talk. Oh, boy. All right. You ready?
Yeah. Bob in the morning, everybody, and welcome to Popcorn Culture. As always, I am your one true host, Big Belly Joel. Oh, man, I said the wrong name.
Big Belly Joel.
Pop of the morning, everybody, and welcome to Popcorn Culture. As always, I'm your one true host, Big Jelly, a.k.a. Jazzy J, joined as usual by my brother, the one true co-host, Buzzy Benjamin B. How's it going?
There's no way in the world I'm going to not address the fact that you made an error on the intro.
I know.
The one
my
true
one
host.
Job.
Yeah. It's like the one thing, because if I talk about it, then it means Isabel has to include it in the finished cut. So I have now forced everyone's hand.
Great. Can't wait.
Anyway, man, how are you?
I'm good. I've had a very fun weekend behind me, for sure. It was like spring is here, gardening is happening.
I know you're doing all the things, and I want to get to that. I'll just also say, yeah, I feel like I had a stupendous weekend. I'm excited for this week's episode of the Pop. I feel like there's so much to unpack, and as busy as you and I have both been with our different lives and our shared lives, we have hardly a chance to speak very much about the things that have been happening. So
that's true.
Let's get the lowdown. So because people are really here at this point in time. I mean, I would largely think 80% for gardening content.
I mean, they're here to find out what's happening in Jay's garden.
What's happening? Yeah.
So oh man, this past Saturday is a day that I have been looking forward to for like at least one full year, but in many ways, several years, you know?
I mean, yeah, it does seem as though you've got the stars aligned.
Exactly.
Yes.
There was so many things that, like, finally came together. And so, like, for one, we finally, like, built the fence for real.
Yes.
We had the fence up. I bought my own rototiller, which was just fun. It was a giant, like, weight off my shoulders, and I've already used it so much, and I love it.
Yep.
And we also cleaned the garage, which is another giant project, which felt like it enabled everything else
to fall in neatly into rhythm.
We are 2 weeks past the average final frost date, which means that's typically like you're good to go. Off to the races. It was Saturday. I had no other plans, and it was nice weather outside, like extremely nice weather outside.
Did any part of you have like the concern that like something was going to crop up and it was going to be like, hey, do you guys want to go and do this thing? Or would you have just like hard stopped it? Been like, nope.
I am
busy doing me time.
I'm doing me things right now. There's probably other things I should have been doing. Maybe even like going for a run or like a bike ride or something.
Yeah, with the triathlon
looming later this week.
Yes.
But I knew I went on Sunday. I went for like a bike ride because I have borrowed my bike from Mike, and I bought shoes and everything. But I've done plenty of mountain biking and plenty of Pelotoning, but I had not actually gotten out on the physical bike yet and like clicked into the pedals and gone for a ride.
It's an interesting position of preparedness. I feel like. For for tackling something like a triathlon for the first time.
Yeah.
And yet there's no part of me that doesn't think you can do it.
That I know. I'm like, in my brain, I'm like, there's no, I'm so certain I can do it. And like, I've been doing a lot of this, you know, I've obviously been doing a lot of the swimming, but like, and I've done, I have no doubt that I can complete the whole thing. It's like, am I going to be super comfortable? No. And it's like, do I wish I had prepared more? Yes. But like, I don't know how much more I could have done with the time I had. Like, maybe I could have spent my swimming days a little bit differently, but I really feel like I needed to swim about as much as I did. And then it was like, but then to add on more, it's like, maybe it was a bad time to try and decide to do it. But at the same rate, I also think I can do it. So I don't know. You'll find out next week. We'll see how it goes.
I know. I am just so deadly curious to see, because you've absolutely gone through and you've shored up the weak point, which would have been arguably the swim.
Right.
I mean, compared to our mountain biking adventures, the Pelotoning that you're able to do just simply from your house.
Yeah.
We have the history as cross country runners. So I think you and I cold, almost no matter what, could probably just go run a 5K.
Right.
Like, I mean, there are huge degrees of execution.
Absolutely.
Of running a 5K. But I think that our mental fortitude is such that like there probably will not escape us the mental position that I can do it.
Right.
Whether
right.
or not it's going to be pretty or fast or anything else, completely different conversation.
Exactly. Exactly. Yeah. So there's that, but we'll get back to that. We'll get back to that,
right.
You know, next week, you know, after I've run it
exactly.
and swam it yeah. and biked it. But for now it was garden day.
Garden season.
And so it yeah. started out with like a trip to go to the local nursery, as it were, local plant nursery.
Okay.
To try and pick up some different seeds and flowers and dirt and things like that.
Nothing like good dirt day.
Getting like good dirt. So Luke accompanied me on this trip, and I think he had fun just running around looking at all the flowers and stuff at the nursery area, which is a fun place.
Flowers are just lovely.
They're just lovely, exactly. Mm. But I picked up some green beads, some celosias, some what else? Some cucumbers.
Okay.
And then the other thing I wanted was broccoli. I don't hear a lot about people growing broccoli in their backyard.
Right.
Yeah. But I was like, you know what? The other advice I keep hearing from everyone is like, grow foods you eat, which like makes sense, obviously.
what are people thinking?
I know. I think some people are just like, I think it does happen where you're like, oh yeah, that'd be fun to grow. But then you grow like these giant eggplants and you're like, I don't even eat eggplant. What am I going to do with it? You know?
Right.
Like,
yes.
Yeah.
Yes. Yeah.
So I was trying to grow things I grew. Unfortunately, I could just go of all places. Walmart had broccoli seeds. So got some there. That was great.
Yep.
Yep. Took that.
Did you also, I feel like you had a rototilling tactic for the weeds.
Oh, yes, yes. So, well, one of the listeners, Geek Deech, sent me a message on Discord, and he was talking, like, when I was talking about the rototilling, and he was like, he had at one point gotten so fed up with his yard, he just like tilled the entire yard and then was like astounded 2 weeks later when like all the weeds came back like fiercer than ever.
Right.
And he was like, oh no, what do? And so his advice was to like till it up, wait 2 weeks, is what's going to happen is you might tear up the weeds, but they're just going to reseed themselves.
Right.
And then they'll start growing again. But if you wait 2 weeks and then do it again, then you can destroy the newly seeded weeds. Like mulch them up without them reseeding because they won't be mature enough to have created the new seeds.
Right. Okay.
So that's the plan. We'll see. That's what I did anyway. So before we went to Japan, I tilled up the garden, then I just let it sit for 2 weeks, and then I did it again. So it was churned.
I really admire the sheer dedication that you've had to this whole process. Like, I mean, it's been cool to like see it all come together. You know, you get your fancy new fence, got your fancy new rototiller.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I mean, you went from like going out there with no shielding whatsoever, right? Like on day one, there was nothing, just tilled dirt. Did you always have a fence?
I've always had a fence around the yard.
Right.
At the very least. And then I suspected I needed to build a fence around the area to keep out like rabbits and stuff. Cause I know there's rabbits in our yard.
Bazooka Jacks.
Yeah. Bazooka Jacks. So me and Beth built like our first like little plastic wire fence the first year, which I was so proud of
right.
at the time and which worked for the first year.
Yeah. Yeah.
No problem.
Enough.
Although right. who knows? It might've been the onion cloud. Who's to say?
I know.
Yeah. Now the world may never know. Obviously last year it completely failed me and I went down in flames, and this year I was like, not this year. I feel so confident this year that it's just going to work. So, you know, knock on wood, I guess, a little bit. But, yeah, I got out there and I tilled the whole thing up and was, you know, it's still like a process because you got to get them out there. And then I feel like I'm scraping all like the dead stuff off the top and loading them in there. And then like the moment finally came was like, am I here? Can I put the seeds in the ground? You know, like, are we doing it? Is this thing happening?
Get the video camera.
I know. I didn't even do that. I did get to finally use all my compost too, which is exciting.
Yes. Yeah. You sent me a picture of your compost and I was like, wow, he did the thing. He did the thing right.
I got it out. It was so perfect. It looked exactly like when you see people on YouTube videos and they're like, here's my compost. And you're like, mine's never going to look like that. But it did. It was tremendous. Tilled that into the ground and everything. That was super. So then I planted my, I got like, I'm like, part of me is like, did I plant enough or did I space them out too much or should I have planted more? But I've got like my row of green beans, which I feel like beans, I think are going to be super fun because they just grow fast.
Right.
Even the package is like, you can just re-sow these every like 7 days and more will just keep coming. And it's like, okay.
I'm done doing that. Yeah. And
those are like right next to the fence too. So those, I think they've got some like trellis, you know, to work with on their own.
Yeah, give them a place to grow.
Exactly. On the other hand, the cucumbers and the bell peppers, they're like in the next row over. I'm going to have to like construct some other kind of trellis for them or buy something for them to like climb as we go, which is also sort of like another fun challenge to take on.
Right.
Get my things out there.
It's honestly amazing that you didn't get into aquariums more at a younger age because you're really, I feel like, kind of going through like the typical process of what I feel like many people are like, I'll put a goldfish in a bowl. Then it's like, I'm going to put a filter on it and a bubbler and then I'm going to upgrade the size of the tank. And then I'm going to put more fish in it. And then I'm going to switch over to salt water. And then I'm going to get corals in high powered lights in a reverse osmosis deionization system.
It's kind of like, it's a big system, isn't it?
It is. Yeah.
Yeah. You just get sucked in
It just keeps stacking. And it's like, once upon a time I had a goldfish I won at the county fair and like
now look at me. That I bought this goldfish, I won this goldfish basically for free and somehow it's cost me thousands of dollars.
Yes.
So that I can get vegetables which I could just buy anyway.
Yes, exactly. But that being said, I do feel like vegetables grow easier than corals. So there is that.
They're more prone to deer and rabbit attacks than corals.
That's a good point. Yeah. I don't think I've ever had any of my corals eaten by a deer, but I can't say for certain, but I'm pretty sure.
The deer just break it in.
Yeah. Just like dunking its head right into the tank.
Yep. Exactly. So we got all that set up. And then one of my friends is going to give me her tomato seedlings to plant back there. So I don't have those in the ground yet. And part of me was like, can I just come over and get them now? And I was like, no. They're accounted for. They're effectively yours. They're already growing. They're just not growing here.
Right.
Let them get to the place where she thinks they're ready, then plant them. But in my mind, I'm like, they could be growing now. They could be growing. I'm like, They are growing.
They're just growing elsewhere.
They're just growing elsewhere, exactly. And then I also put marigolds in the garden, you know, as like, because I guess they also have a scent that stuff doesn't like.
Okay.
But they attract pollinators you want and like detract bugs you don't want. So, yay, got some marigolds out there. I also think marigolds are so pretty. They are. They're so pretty. It's nice to look out there and immediately just see these like bursts of orange in the middle of the garden, which hopefully shall be bursting with green. Which would be great. Yeah.
Green.
Well, like when stuff starts growing.
Oh. I thought you meant like green flowers. I was like, there's something about green flowers, despite green being my favorite color, that seems rather unappealing because all plants are usually green.
They're just green to begin with. Yeah, for sure. So that's not going to be a problem. But then, and then I was like, this is the real power of having the tiller, is that suddenly like other garden beds around my house are just like so much more approachable all of a sudden. You know what I mean?
You were totally going to turn into one of these people who's like backyard. It's sort of like, it's like, yeah, well, my kids can play ball in this like 8 square foot spot. Yeah. They have tons of room.
Man, tons of room.
Yeah. But then everything else, you know, I've got like my rows of corn.
Yeah, I got corn back here, man. I know. Dude, I seriously considered like growing popping corn.
Oh, that would have been so great.
Yeah. At some point, I'll for sure have to do that. But so then there's like another little flower bed on the side of my house that I do not pay attention to. It is so far just like, you know, been dirt that stuff that perennials have been growing in that I have not looked at since I moved in.
Okay.
You know, it's not a side of the house I even ever visit. If I go to the backyard, it's the other way.
Right.
Yeah. But it's there. and now I've paid attention to it.
So it's got something coming.
Yeah, I had I took my shovel out there, dug up all the existing plants that were there, which were just like boring old. Like the person who lived in my house before me decided that irises were the greatest plants to ever exist.
Why
the
not?
Greatest flowers. Yeah, I guess because they're perennial and they just come back every year. But they've got these like tuber like roots that are just like enormous and. Like I think they're very good at reseeding themselves, so you really got to like get them out when you get them out.
Yeah,
but they're everywhere.
You know, just the other day I was thinking that we should start marketing ourselves as like agriculture for all of our
Yeah, are we a garden podcast at this point? You
well,
know?
I mean, not only that, but we are YouTubers.
Yeah.
tubers are like haters.
This is potatoes. Oh my goodness. Yes, exactly.
Oh man. Anyway, so I'm sorry, continue.
Yeah, so I tore that one up, got rid of all the brush, and then I decided I was gonna plant pumpkins over there. So I think that'll be very fun too. Because I remember when we were kids, we were growing pumpkins in the backyard and I thought it was so fun.
Dude, we might have told the story before, and I can't remember or not, but we grew pumpkins in our backyard, and I remember that I feel like we ended up successfully getting 4 pumpkins.
Mm-hmm.
And the thing that I feel like was kind of like remarkable about the 4 pumpkins is that like it meant that mom and dad had like a pumpkin, and then there was like a big one, a medium one, and a small one, which ended up like being, you know, like Jay's pumpkin, Ben's pumpkin, and our little brother Tyler's pumpkin.
Yeah.
And the thing I remember about my pumpkin having pulled it out of the ground was that it was like still mostly green. And then like we brought it down to the basement because I want to say it was still like either early October or like late September when we like plucked them.
Right.
And so like we still had like a little bit of time before they were going to be like put out on our step for like, you know,
yeah, jack-o'-lantern purposes.
Exactly. But I remember mine was like green still. So like it almost seemed like it like wasn't done baking.
Uh-huh.
And then like we went down to like get them to like bring them upstairs and carve them. And I remember they were like all bright orange all of a sudden. And I was like, wait a second. How do they? And then, so then when I had a bunch of pumpkins growing in my backyard, I was like, well, Allie, we can pick them now and they'll turn orange on their own. That's what happened when I was a kid. And she was like, I don't think that's a thing.
I don't think that's a thing.
And I was like, well, I know, I think it is because, you know, it's like, you know, if you have like an unripe avocado or like bananas that are like
right,
bright green, you know, you set them on the table, they turn yellow. Like
exactly. You buy bananas when they're green. Yeah, they turn yellow.
Exactly. And, you know, so I was like, surely this is the same thing for pumpkins. And I was like Googling it. And it's like, yeah, this isn't really a thing. If you pluck it while it's green, it's just going to stay green. And I was like, what happened when we were kids?
Yeah.
Like,
did you figure it out?
Well, now I'm just curious. You know, mom and dad listened to the pop, so I'm wondering if they're listening right now. And it's like, mom and dad, did you go replace the pumpkins that we grew with similar sized pumpkins in the basement that just happened to be orange?
No.
And we didn't notice?
No.
I mean, you know, this happens with betta fish all the time, dude. People would come in and they'd be like, I need like a blue one with red fins because Bubbles died.
Because Bubbles died, yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
Right.
And like, oh, okay.
Okay.
Well, I don't have one that's blue.
That's too bad.
Fins. Yeah, it's like, it seems like you bought like the most unique one ever because
yeah.
we don't have a replacement beta.
Well, let me tell you what, though. Beta fish are famous for randomly changing colors. Wink.
Here you go. That's exactly right. Yeah. It's growing. It's maturing.
Exactly. They change colors as they get bigger. Wow.
Woo-hoo. No way.
Hey, Bubbles is back. Yay.
Right. Yeah. So anyway, that's been my lifelong curiosity. But it would be really cool if you ended up growing like a whole bunch of really big pumpkins.
I know. I'm very curious how they, if it's going to work out. It feels like pumpkins are this other sort of thing that like deer and rabbit might decide to destroy. And these are not within a fenced area. So I might have to like do a little bit more light fencing around this particular area.
Oh, no.
I know. Not as much. Not nearly as much.
I don't think. It is also funny though, because now, like with all these conversations that we've been having, I have also now watched a couple of videos from like, you know, like garden tubers.
Yeah.
It's even funnier.
It works.
Yeah. Yeah. But it does seem like their backyards have just become raised bed gardens and trellised areas and areas with like, you know, vertical growth potential and stuff like that, you know, like where there's like strings tied up to like posts up high so that
yeah.
like as it continues to grow, you can keep kind of like pulling it up.
Yep.
Yeah, you're going to.
I know. I feel like it could happen. I'm definitely like last year when I was failing, I would be out there with my little clippers being like, I got to prune these. I got like, if anything survives, I got to make sure it survives well, you know,
yeah.
Make sure we're doing all getting a prune. So anyway, we got pumpkins. We also planted celosias out front, which are just like cool looking flowers.
Yeah.
So hopefully those don't get eaten either. I don't know if the animals will eat those. It feels like they probably will, knowing my luck, you know, as I'm just winging it.
But at some point in time, maybe that's what the universe is trying to tell you. It's like, stop winging things.
Stop winging it, man. Stop being like, yeah, it'll be fine. It's like, well, like we did it with the zinnias last year. They were totally fine. Nothing ever came to get them.
I can tell you one thing. They're just going to be doomed this year.
What?
The zinnias?
Yeah.
They're going to be doomed.
Yeah, they're doomed. It's like, yeah, last year was a total fluke. That's not how it goes. Right.
It's like, why did it work last year? It's like, I don't know.
I don't know.
It stopped working.
Yeah. Last year it was fine. This year it's not. So we'll see. I'm sure. Yeah. Like I planted, like last year they attacked my sunflowers and I just planted more this year at a different place. And I'm like, nah, it'll be fine.
Yeah, they won't find them.
They just won't find them. They're
like 14 feet to the left.
Exactly. It's not going to be an issue.
Right.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, and then I got my peach tree, which is also, you know, coming back.
Is it looking beautiful?
It looks great. Yes.
Oh, excellent.
So yeah, the garden is well underway. I went out and ran the sprinkler and stuff. I had my, you know, I put in like two, I had my pellet fertilizer, which is just like a thing, you know, you go about and scatter all those little like white and blue rocks or whatever that I guess just dissolve into whatever you need them to be. And then I had my little Miracle-Gro, which looks like the meth on Breaking Bad.
Like,
you know?
like blue crystals.
Yeah, like blue crystals. I put that in my watering can and just hit everything. So everything is like as fertilized and, you know, great as it can be for now. It's got the compost, it's got the seeds, it's got the fence, and now it's a waiting game.
Well-primed soil.
Yes, well-primed soil.
Nice.
Exactly.
Popcorn Culture is sponsored by Shopify. I remember back in ye olden days of old, if ye wanted to peddle your goods, you had to load up the wagon and trade a satchel of peaches to the millers down the road yonder to borrow Betsy and drag your wares into the town to conduct business. 'Twas the year 2005. And then came Shopify, and then just 12 short years later after that, a pair of young Super Carlin brothers found themselves on the cutting edge of something new. Coffee. Okay, coffee isn't that new, but it was for us at the time, and we needed the place to sell. How do you even build a website, take payments, calculate shipping, and track sales? It's too much to wrap your head around while also trying to refine your product and design your packaging, but fortunately Shopify came to our rescue. In no time, we were off to the races, not just with a website and a cash register, but with a business partner. Shopify refines data to make better informed decisions and is like a marketing department all in one. They can help you easily create email and social media campaigns just like that. Y'all, turn your business idea into with Shopify on your side. Sign up for your $1 per month trial and start selling today at shopify.com/poppop. Go to shopify.com/poppop. That's all lowercase. One last time, shopify.com/poppop.
So that was my weekend of gardening, but you also had a crazy weekend where you went camping with Addison for the first time.
I did. I feel like I've been talking about it for so long, and finally arose the occasion just to roll out there. We found this website called Hip Camp, which is like Airbnb but for like campsites.
Mm-hmm.
So like, you know, somebody's just got like a field that has got like a pond in it, and they want to like rent the space next to the pond because it's just secluded and by itself, and you want to like have proper permission to go out there and use it.
Yeah.
You can. And so we found this like, you know, like little, well, it what it reminded me a lot of as well is like whenever I think about just going like basic car camping. So like not really roughing it, but more like rolling up, setting up like a large tent, having like a, you know, a version of like an air mattress and big sleeping bags and stuff like that.
Right.
You know, like the air mattress thing that we use by itself is the same size as my backpacking backpack.
Wow.
So,
yeah.
Like, I mean, it's like a small barrel when it's all stuffed away. It doesn't weigh as much, of course, but like, you know, when I think about like our backpacking trip that we've gone on, you know, that we talked about on the pop so much years ago, I was like, I had all of my food, all of my water, my sleeping bag, my tent, all of, you know.
Yeah, it was so compact.
All so very compact.
Right. And then it's a very different camping experience.
Yes. I used my truck bed as my backpack. And it,
okay,
you know,
yeah,
and
exactly.
It was pretty well, you know, full of stuff.
Yeah, yeah. Loaded.
Yeah. But it was really cool because, you know, like part of what's concerned me is that, like, you know, when we were kids and we would go to like campground camping, it oftentimes didn't feel like very secluded at all. It's like you would almost pull into like a park, but you'd be so surrounded by like other campsites and people and stuff. And it was like, it never really felt like you were like in the wilderness so much as like choosing to go to a spot to sleep outside.
Right.
So this was kind of cool because like we pulled up to the campsite. It's like this like kind of big farm area out in a place called Floyd, Virginia. You know, there's just like green in every direction. There was like a little like babbling creek, you know, going by, like literally where we were going to like rest our heads to go to sleep were maybe like 8 feet from like the edge of the creek. That was just sort of like, you know, like white noise in its way through there. I mean,
that's awesome.
Yes. I mean, when I turn on like my white noise app at night, it's like a little stream.
Yeah.
And I was like, this is the real thing. This is so amazing.
Real white noise.
Yes. I don't know. Like I think I've talked a lot about like how I've been watching like the Outdoor Boys YouTube channel, which I've been like just so enjoying. And he does like so much like really like legit stuff. And you know, but also still lots of family things as well. So I think like in the back of my mind, I kind of had like all those like little wheels spin in, like, you know, how do I do this in a cool way? Now I think I was like probably going to like extra lengths to try to do things that were just for the like the heck of it. Like I didn't need to, but
but that's fun. That's fun.
Just kind of.
So like what were you trying?
Well, I mean, so like I think historically if I was gonna like roast a hot dog over the fire, for example, I'd probably just like put it on a skewer and hold it over the fire and just sort of like turn it a few times, like,
yeah,
in accordance with like where the flames and such were.
Right.
This was more like, let me go find a stick in the shape of a Y and then I'll position it in the ground and I'll make like a roasting platform that'll like hold the hot dog, you know, over the flames. And one of the tips that the guy on the channel always talks about is like, if you can hold your hand over the flame for just 3 seconds, like find the spot where you can only hold it for 3 seconds, that's 350 degrees.
Okay.
And he's like, that's where like most meat needs to be cooked, like at that distance, and that's like where you can cook it over an open flame without just like immediately charring it or being like too far away to where it's not cooking at all.
Got it.
You know, so I was like, you know, I was like trying to do that.
Yeah.
Or like,
yeah, I gotta figure it out.
Yeah. The other cool thing about like the website is I could like pre-order like freshly laid eggs. So like I got there and they have these like two little containers of like, you know, half dozen eggs for
right.
me. And one of the things he does is like he'll take like a pile of coals and he'll like bury the egg over to like the side of the fire and like hard boil it. But it's like you're not hard boiling it because there's no water.
Yeah.
You're just like covering the egg in coals and it's supposed to like, you know, cook itself all the way through, which is effectively what you do when you hard boil it
anyway. You're just surrounding it with heat.
Exactly. And it blew up. Yeah.
It blew up.
The egg blew up.
What do you mean it blew up? Boiled it?
I put way too much heat on it way too fast.
Oh no.
And so I was like all excited and I had everybody all like gathered around and it took like maybe 30 seconds to blow up.
Oh no.
And I was like, well, I did that one wrong. But I was having fun with it. And then like I got in the creek and I had like a water bottle with like the bottom cut off and I'm like flipping over rocks looking for crawfish. And
were you going to eat them?
Well, that was my thing. Yeah. I was like, well, we'll catch a crawfish. We'll make a crawfish.
Yeah.
Cause if you've never tried it before, crawfish are very good.
Yeah.
Like they have, it's kind of like lobster, which makes sense.
Yeah. Yeah. Just tiny lobsters.
Tiny lobsters. Yeah. But they have that kind of like natural, like butter flavor in them. And so obviously again, not that we had tons of food with us, like we could have eaten for like a week and we would have been fine. But, you know, it's still one of those things where it was like, oh, it'd just be kind of fun just to do it. Like, you know,
yeah.
Like how often are you this close to this many crawfish and have like a little propane stove? And
did you catch any?
I did catch one. Yeah.
Oh, nice.
Yep, I did. And then I think everybody in my group was like, Ben, we're not cooking it. And I was like, all right.
Oh man, why not?
I don't know.
What's the matter with these people?
That's what I said. Next time we go, if you're with me,
I'd have been like, we're eating this, man. Come on.
Skewer it up.
How much meat could you get off a single crawdad?
I mean, and I can't even stress it enough. I mean, like, imagine like a piece of Orbit gum, you know, like a single piece and like cut it in half.
Oh gosh. Like, so you got like a baby.
I mean, it was a pretty wee lad. I mean, I would say the crawfish from claw to tail was maybe 3 inches, 3.5 inches.
Okay.
So I mean, yeah. it was a little guy.
Got it.
Yeah. Yeah. But that was really cool too, because like, Addison was like super excited about it. She like climbed in the water. She had like all of her pants all like hiked up to her thighs and she's just like holding onto my leg and helping me like look for crawdad and stuff. And
well, that's cool. So yeah. I remember, do you remember like when we would go like crawfish hunting in like the little creek behind our house growing up?
I absolutely do.
Yes.
Like, I feel like we would take like a piece of string, tie it to a paper clip, and then put like a piece of like bubble gum on it.
Oh,
like chewed bubble gum. I don't know why gum is coming so much up with crawfish. Maybe that's why I was thinking about like,
maybe, yeah.
Orbit gum. But I feel like, yeah, like, you know, drop it in there and like you try to see like if it would like come out and like grab it. And then if it got stuck to the gum, you like yank it out of the water.
I don't remember doing that.
No?
No.
Okay, well, I successfully did it at least twice.
Oh, you got, and you got it to like actually come out of the water like that?
I did, yeah.
Oh, wow.
Yeah,
no, hurt. Man. I would just, I think, I remember like going down with like a bowl or something and like just flipping the rocks, and then you would put the bowl behind it and just splash the water in front of it, and it would like jet backwards, and you'd just like, ha ha, gotcha.
I gotcha.
Yeah.
Yeah. That would work too.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
I mean, they do swim backwards.
So, yes. Yes. Yeah. And they can't see behind them. So.
Right. Yes.
Yeah. You just scare them and then they're trapped. That's pretty much it. So
that was how we called it.
Yeah. I remember being like, it was kind of, cause that creek we were going, I'm calling it creek. It's a really generous word. I mean, it wasn't even. It was maybe as wide as the table in front of us, like pretty shallow little body of water we had going there. But man, there was a bunch of crawdads in that tiny little creek.
That's the thing. I know. Yeah. I'm like, how are these things like thriving in here so well?
Yeah.
Such a minimal amount of water, and yet
there they were.
Right. So that was really cool. Otherwise, let's see, what else do we have going on here? I had like a bunch of pieces of equipment. I can't remember if I talked about this on the pop, but I've probably been wanting to go camping like this with the family for at least like the past 6 months or so, around like Go Fest season of last year, October, fall time. And so there was this piece of equipment that I bought is like effectively like a car battery, but you like charge it up at home and then you like bring it out there. And it's like a big battery bank with like plugs and all sorts of
okay.
stuff. And it's from a brand called Goal Zero, and it's like a Yeti brand or something, or the model is called like a Yeti. But they sell accessories that go with these things. And so when I was looking for something, I was like, you know what you probably are going to need is like a good modern day lantern, you know, so like when the sun goes down at night, like you need like something you can like drop on the picnic table that's just going to like illuminate your area so you can find all your cooking utensils, or you know, not trip on whatever, you know, all that type of stuff.
Exactly.
And so I was like poking around, and I was like, okay, like lantern for the Yeti system, so that I can like plug something in and have like a lantern. And so I bought this thing that I thought was the size of like a flashlight, you know, or like sitting next to me, we have like our one true host trophy, which I just realized now should be over on
your side. Yeah, yeah. Geez, let's go ahead and correct that. Although I think, yeah, be careful.
Be careful, because
this one's like broken, right? Yeah.
There we go. Okay, woo. Thank you. So I think, anyway, these things are maybe like 14 inches tall. So I think I was thinking that the lantern I had ordered was about this size.
Okay.
Based on like the picture. And I thought that it was like a flashlight that had these like little arms that would stick out of it that you could like directionalize in every direction. So I order it, it arrives in the mail, and this thing literally looks like it could be holding like, I'm trying to think of something like proper distance, like a shotgun maybe. Like it's like, it's probably a tube that's like 6 inches wide and like 4 feet tall.
Whoa, it was way bigger.
Huge.
Yeah.
Absolutely huge. And I mean, this thing, literally, when you set it up, it comes like a giant tripod. You can put it like 12, 14 feet in the air. And I mean, you could just about turn off all of our set lights and just use this thing, and it would be like enough to illuminate us, like to film videos.
Wow.
It is so bright.
Man.
Yeah, so I got to bust that thing out though. That got some oohs and ahs.
Yeah, like look at this. I think
even the nearby campsites were like, you know, like hold on, honey, I got to go look at this thing.
Got to go look at this giant contraption this guy's just busted out.
Yeah, so I felt pretty good about that.
Nice, cool. That. Yeah.
Yeah. And then the other thing is that like, you know, we they've been a sponsor on Super Carlin Brothers for a really long time, but I've also just been a customer for a really long time. Bespoke Post.
Uh-huh.
And so if you're not familiar, Bespoke Post does like a lot of like really cool kind of like specialty products from like small businesses all over the world and stuff. And I've always just actually really liked the company and the stuff I've gotten from it. But they do lots of sort of like this car camping grade gear. And so I was like, I had like this huge pile of stuff that I have gotten from my own genuine subscription to Bespoke Post that I had never used before. And it was just, like, the people I was with were like, where did you get this? And I was like, once again, the same place.
The same place. Yeah, right.
Yeah. So I had like a shovel and like a knife and these like ground mats and a hammock. And I mean, just all sorts of little bits and bobs that I was having fun testing out. So even that was just really cool. I was like, oh my gosh, like these things have been like sitting in a pile in my basement in the corner, and now I'm getting to like use them, and oh man, the payoff was great.
That is awesome. That I similarly this weekend had some like Bespoke Post item usage. This is not sponsored by
no it's not.
No,
yeah, just, but what I'm trying to indicate is that when we have sponsors, like, we use the things.
Yeah, yes, we do. Even these shoes are right now, these are from Vessi. They're waterproof sneakers.
Hey-o, air horns.
My kids are they're bright white, and my kids are determined to step on them with their dirty feet all the time. It's driving me crazy. Yeah, but otherwise I really like them. I haven't used the waterproofing function on them at all.
I just can't wash them.
Let me tell
now.
You what. Yeah. Let me tell you what I'm not doing with my bright white shoes is stepping in puddles, but I believe that if I did, they'd stay dry.
There you go.
But they look cool either way. Not important. Not sponsored. Just an example. Anyway, on Instagram, I follow a guy named, his account is Greenhorn Grove, and he basically is like a homesteader who has like an acre or so of land and just turned it into like his whole, life. He like quit his job and now this is just what he does.
Okay.
And he's fun to follow because he has like lots of different like gardening tips and stuff. But he has one video in particular where he's like, if I could only have one tool, it would be this thing. And it's like some sort of like Japanese, you know, crazy garden knife or whatever. And I mean, it looks like intimidating to
like,
even
like
hold.
Barbaric.
Yeah, it's like this, get this big wooden handle, and then it's like it's shaped like a knife, but it has like a scoop like all the way down at like a shovel, and then on one side it's serrated and on the other side it's like a nice clean edge, and then at the bottom it's got this like gnarly looking like hook that you would like use to like cut rope or something.
I feel like I know what you're talking
yes,
about.
Yes, exactly. Yeah. Well, I'm sure you do. But I remember watching that video and being like, man, that seems like such a cool tool. And it's like he's showing you all the different ways he uses it around. And of course, you know, he's making a video about it. So, but his post wasn't sponsored either. This was just him genuinely being like, this is the tool I use the most or whatever.
Uh-huh, right. Yes.
You know, which was, you know, great. And I remember thinking like, that is so cool. But it reminded me so much of any given product where you're like watching an infomercial and they're like, look, what other use you could have for it? Look, what other use? Look, it can also clean your car. And you're like, no, that wouldn't make sense.
It's a bottle opener. It's a bottle. And we'll file your taxes for you.
Exactly. You're like, okay, so many features, but this is literally like you're in those situations so often or whatever. And like, so part of me is like, I wanted to get one, but then also like, I know there's not like a real version of me that's going to go and hunt down one of these hulking giant knives to bring into my house or whatever.
Yeah. I mean, just as a quick aside, I actually think this is hilarious because one of the things that comes up in the Outdoor Boys all the time, which I feel like now I'm just becoming like a walking talking commercial for it.
Yeah.
But very similarly, like he's always like scraping branches off these trees and he's got this like really, really cool knife to do it. And he's like, I get comments all the time on like where you can buy this knife. And I will admit that it is amazing, but I also bought it in like Japan from a craftsman in his garage. And it's the only one I've ever seen that looks anything like it. And so as far as I know, there aren't more. it's like, I'm just always like, that's so funny that like his favorite tool is something that like no one can
no
get.
No one can get. That's so funny. It's like, well, then why even bother? But so last week we were like just going through the drawers in the office, I think looking for something else entirely. And I unearth one of these exact knives just like that has been sent to us from Bespoke Post and has been lost into a drawer somewhere in the office.
Incredible.
And I pull it out and I'm like, oh, I know exactly what this thing is. And I was like, it's for gardening. I'm gonna be doing that. And like, sure. And so I brought it home and I was like, I'm gonna go try it out.
Did you throw it into like an old belt loop or anything?
I didn't throw it into an old belt loop or anything.
Man, yeah. One of these days we'll get you belt looping.
Oh God, that's it's a whole different step.
We'll get you a flashlight, a Leatherman, mm-hmm. your trowel.
Yep. So I took it out with me in the garden, and sure enough, it was like so handy at like everything.
Amazing.
I loved it. I was like, oh my gosh, one of these crazy looking knives. Cause like, look, I can tell you that when you were a kid, when you were like a little boy, and you were and you go to any store and they've just got that like window case of all the crazy big knives, there is nothing you want more than to own all of them.
Yes.
To do what? Who knows? You don't need a knife, but you sure want it.
Yes. I genuinely remember as a kid, there was, I think, Boy's Life magazine.
Oh yeah, Boy's Life.
Yeah. And if you turn to like the last page, they had like a whole selection of like pictures of like hunting knives and Bowie knives and skinning knives. And I mean, just any kind of knife you could think of, none of which I needed to use
at all.
Yep. But that I wanted so badly, like, you know, and it was like this idea of like mail ordering something seemed basically impossible. And I assumed I wouldn't have mom and dad's permission. So my goal was always to just like scrounge together the money, stuff it into an envelope and mail it to Boy's Life and be like, can you send me a hunting knife, please?
Right. Yes. Yeah. And they're going to be like, cash. Thanks.
You don't send cash in the mail.
Yeah. Yeah. Do that.
Especially all coins.
Yeah, all coins. Exactly.
What is this? $8 in nickels?
I know. Even if that's successful, just a giant knife arrives in the mail. There's no way mom's going to be like, yeah, you could just have that.
Yes. Yes.
I guess.
Don't hurt your brother.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. But yeah, I had my giant knife out there and I was in the garden and like I used it as a shovel. I used it to cut weeds. I used it to cut rope. I was like, this thing is actually super good.
That's awesome.
Yes. And then the other thing that Bespoke Post sent us once upon a time, and I think you have one too, is just the world's coolest looking machete.
Yes, I do. Yeah. I absolutely have one too.
Yes. I mean, it looks like an item out of like Diablo or something. It is like It is a big, you know, I mean, you know what a machete is. It's, you know, it's got a nice, cool wooden handle. Then effectively a sword blade, like a mini sword blade. But instead of coming to like a sharp point at the end, it's like a squared off edge that kind of like comes out as if the end of it is like an axe or something, but not really.
It reminds me of like an orc's sword.
Yes, thing. It looks like an orc's sword or something from Lord of the Rings.
Yeah.
Yeah. Never had any need for it. But then I was like, you know what I need to do is get rid of all these irises. And I think I have just the tool to chop them down so that I can run the tiller over their roots. And it was the machete. My gosh, man, did it slice through them like butter. It was so satisfying. Just be like, and then all of it would just fall.
That's amazing.
It was so great.
Oh, man. Well,
no.
What a weekend we had.
What a weekend.
Who knew?
I know. Yeah. Using tools the way that... And the other thing about whenever you see knives and like multi-tool kind of things like that, it's like that almost always... more is less in these situations.
Yes.
Like it is better for them to do one thing and do it well.
Right.
And it is like the promise of being the answer to everything ends up being the answer to nothing. But it was like I had it and all of its uses were useful to me and it did all of them well. And I was like, this, wow. Okay. Impressed.
Yeah.
Impressed. So
I mean, no, that it is so much fun. It is so much fun. And I like one of the other ones that I had over the weekend was like a multi-tool situation. So
yeah.
same capacity, because what we did not have was a corkscrew bottle opener for like a bottle of wine. And I had remembered that very early on when Alice and I were still just like talking and dating and stuff, we had met like on a riverside to like drink wine. And it was going to be like this beautiful, lovely, romantic riverside wine situation.
Oh, y'all are so cute.
Thanks, appreciate it. And also I did not have a corkscrew then, and at the time I was doing my aquarium job full time, which meant that I always sort of had like a pant knife on me.
Sure.
You know, as you do.
A pants knife. Yeah.
You know, and I mean, to be fair, I used my pants knife like every single day for one thing or another. Like, I mean, it was clipped to like my pants and all the time and always I needed it. And it was always trusty and dusty and right there for me.
There you go.
I also bought it back like in high school. So it's kind of cool that it's it's been with me for like a while.
It's been with you for a while. People are like, where'd you get that? And be like, I bought it from a guy in Japan.
Not really.
It's just from like Walmart.
It's from, I was going to say, from the Walmart glass case when I was old enough to buy stuff out of the Walmart glass
case. Oh, what a great day. I'm going to go buy one of the crazy looking knives just for no reason.
Just for no reason.
What do I need it for?
There's a place in downtown Roanoke called Mass General Store that has one of these knife cases. We should just go over there when we're done here and just look.
Dude, when we did the GMA gift exchange, which we talked about here on the Pop some time ago, that's exactly where I got all your gifts. So I was like, I know where I'm going.
I'm going to go buy them weapons.
I think I got everyone like the same hatchet is what I want to say. I got everyone.
Yes, you did. Yeah. Okay.
Yeah.
That's right.
Yeah.
That's right.
Yeah. Let me tell you what, if you don't know what to get your male friend for any given thing, you go to any one of those glass cases that's got all the blades and hat, just pick literally anything. They are going to be happy with it.
Yep, no doubt. But anyway, so yeah, back in the day, I busted out my pants knife, and it probably sounds really bad in the context of this story, but it doesn't matter. So I jammed it into the cork and basically was able to like slowly turn the knife to the point where it was like I was able to like round out the cork. And I think Alice was so impressed,
yeah,
you know, that like I had successfully uncorked this wine bottle, you know, in this particular way. And so then we're sitting around the campfire and we brought this bottle of wine and we're like, oh man, this would be so much fun. I was like, I have just the thing. So I went and got my multi-tool, you know, out, which of course I brought, and I was actually having like an opportunity to use.
Yeah.
It's like, you know, it's like a brand new multi-tool that I've had again for probably 5 years and used like 8 times ever, but like no big deal. So I take that, you know, bust the knife out and I sort of like, I'm slowly putting pressure on it and the cork shoots straight down into the bottle and wine blasts everywhere.
Dude, there is a vlog where you do the exact same thing.
I never learn, do I?
No. Yeah, I remember it was at Thanksgiving and for whatever reason no one could find a corkscrew or something.
Did I have my pant knife on me?
We were using a knife to do something of this exact description and you were jamming it down into the cork and I don't think the whole thing came out, but like you at some point you must have been creating a certain amount of like suction or pressure or something inside the bottle of wine, but I want to say you like stab down into it and pull it out, and wine just like sprays you in the face.
Yeah.
Because that is in a J vlog somewhere.
Dang it! There is nothing unique about my life.
I do think we eventually got to the wine though, because I think we had to use like a strainer to pour it through because there was cork in the wine.
Yeah, I do remember this. Okay, yeah. So apparently I tried to bust out the trick more often than I realized.
Like, who needs a wine? I've got a knife, guys.
So I've got a knife and bad memory.
Yeah. I can do it.
I remember enough. Maybe it's because wine usually follows this plan.
Yeah.
I remember enough to know to do it over and over again. Not that it always fails. But it worked that one time with Alice. So,
there you go. You impressed her then.
Right. Yeah. Just maybe that's the thing. It's like as difficult and hard as I can be on myself. I remember the wins that I feel in my heart were like the biggest.
Yeah. You're like, if I could do it again, it'll feel that good again.
Right, exactly. I'm trying to recapture lightning in a bottle.
Yeah. Or apparently it's cork in a bottle or knife in a bottle though.
That's right. It's gonna be the eventual death of me probably.
Yeah.
So that didn't work at all. And then the cork got stuck down in the neck. And so not only did it spray me in the face, but then like it pistoned itself back up into the neck. And then I couldn't do anything else from there. And I gave up. So,
you didn't have wine?
So I didn't have any wine.
It seems like at that point you try and get like a stick and push it down.
I was a little embarrassed at this point.
Okay.
Yeah. So I was like, I'm just going to let it go.
Forget it.
Yeah. Nothing big of a deal. And nice. I think everybody else was okay. We had other stuff. So we're good.
Awesome.
Yeah. Yeah. But all in all, I mean, it was an amazing camping trip. It was so much fun to finally get Allie and Addison out there. The one really funny thing I think was that like Addison knew camping equals tents, probably more than anything. And so I feel like she was really kind of like, when are we getting in the tent? And we're definitely all doing it together, right?
And right.
So it was funny because like she had these like slightly mismatched expectations for like what it was going to ultimately be like once we were there, but the friends we were with have a little girl who's like 7 weeks older than Addison, and they were like chumming as hard as you can imagine. I mean, it was so cute, so adorable. I mean, they were fishing for caterpillars by throwing dirt into the creek.
Oh,
and,
excellent.
You know, and I was just like,
fishing for caterpillars.
Yes. Capitillars, which I feel like, you know, and I was like, you guys were saying it as capitillars, just like so genuinely. And I love that.
Yeah.
You know, so then I think because they saw me catching the crawfish in the bottle, they had like a flashlight that they quickly dispensed the batteries out of. And then there were, you know, air quotes, catching capitillars in the handle of their flashlight.
Naturally.
Yeah. So like Addie came racing over to me and she was like, Daddy, I caught a capitiller. And I was like, no way, let me see. And she opened it up and it was just jam full of leaves. And I was like, wow.
Wow, nice.
And she's like, it's just pretend.
It's just pretend.
But
it's not real.
It's not real. But anyway, so it was fun. We did catch one capitilla.
Oh, that's good.
Yeah.
Did you do the corn dog thing?
No, I was going to do the corn dog thing. So the idea with the corn dog thing is basically to have a mason jar full of like the cornmeal batter, and then you take the corn dog, jam it onto a stick, and then jam that into the batter, and then you've got like a pot of like peanut oil, and you like literally like deep fry corn dogs right there on site.
Right there.
You know, which I think sounds pretty amazing. But I'm saving that one for our upcoming camping trip together. Listen, here.
You need a pretty deep thing of peanut oil.
You sure do.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You got that?
No, not to worry. I'll have it by
then. You'll have it by then.
My big concern is that the peanut oil tips over on one of the kids, so they might need to be like 40 feet away because I'm already worried that that's going to happen.
Right. Yeah. That it is going to be very like hot and scalding.
And precarious.
And precarious. Yeah. That seems about right. Yeah.
So the kids might need to like find somewhere to scamper off and be.
That's going to be a tall order for three boys who love fire. Let me tell you what already. And corn dogs. Yeah. We just this past weekend as well. After we got my whole garden day set up, when we were at the store with Luke, he spotted like this little end capper that had all the stuff you need to make s'mores.
Okay.
And I, you know, it wasn't a very hard sell for him to be like, oh, can we get s'more stuff? And I was like, yep.
We could do that.
We can do that. Let's do it. That sounds like a great way to spend tonight. So
that feels like the thing I would say yes to Addison, and then Alice would look at me like, oh, Ben. And I'm like, what?
I did. There was a bit of apprehension. I was like, I'm going to say yes now, and then I'm going to come, and she's going to be like, why do you say yes to these things? And I'm going,
like, s'mores.
like everybody likes s'mores. Yeah. So I got talked into the s'mores by Luke, and then I also got talked into Takis by Luke.
It's like, what, Luke wanted them?
Luke wanted them. Look, the way Luke looked at the Takis, I think it was clear to me, one, that it was like absolute treasure that he had like beheld them in their place of origin, which is the grocery store.
Okay.
Like, he's seen them at the house, and I think at school, a lot of his friends have Takis for snack every day.
Dude,
and
Takis,
he doesn't get the Takis.
They have the best crunch factor, dude, I think, of any snack food in the history of snack food.
They're absolutely so good. They are awesome. I love them.
Yeah.
And I cannot buy them because they are just the absolute, like, the junk food, you know?
Yes.
Like, they're not great for you, but man, do they taste good. Yeah. And so part of me is like, Luke wants Takis. I'm like, I kind of want Takis too.
I was going to say.
Yeah, I want Takis. Yeah. And then I was even like, I bet I could spin Takis better than I can spin stores because like Beth will want some Takis too. Like, we'll just, yeah, everyone likes Takis. It's going to be fine. It's going to be fine.
Right. Yeah. So maybe the delivery there is like, it's like, I know you're frustrated about the s'more stuff, but good news. I also got Takis.
I also got Takis. And you know what? It all went over tremendously well. Beth was just excited to do campfire and s'mores. And the Takis did not last 3 hours in my house. They were gone.
Which flavor do you get?
We just got, this was whatever Luke grabbed, which was just Fuego, which I think is regular.
Regular, okay.
Yeah.
The blue ones, I think.
Yeah.
If I eat those, I mean, it's like, I think that they must have some type of magical property that allows them to actually light on fire once they're in your stomach.
They are, yeah, I've had the blue ones, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, it's literally like eating and passing a torch.
True. But they're tasty on the way down, at least.
But they're tasty.
But they're tasty. I can tell you, the Takis did not last in my house at all. They were devoured within hours. So that was a crowd pleaser as well. So I don't think I was, I think I did pretty good, all things considered.
Maybe this year, instead of the Goblet of Fire quiz where we eat all the spicy wings, what we'll do is we'll like, so normally what we do around Thanksgiving is we do a quiz on questions only from the Harry Potter Goblet of Fire book. And for every question we get wrong, we usually have to eat like a 1 million Scoville grade hot wing.
Hot wing.
So maybe this year what we do is we go through, we answer all the questions. For each one we get wrong, we have to eat like 10 of the blue flavored Takis. And then the real punishment is at like 6 a.m. the next morning, we both have to run a 5K.
Oh, God. That would be terrible.
Exactly.
Yeah, that would not be good.
Like, mile two, like, I'm sweating, but not because of the
We're going to ruin Takis for ourselves.
And for everybody listening.
Yes, and for everyone listening. Yeah, oh, man. Yeah, we'll just record ourselves running, you know.
Yeah.
While we're out there, got lovely mic'd up.
Oh my gosh. Yes. Yeah. A podcast but running.
A podcast but running. Yeah.
Anybody? Yeah.
just on a panting.
I was gonna say the heavy breathing would be questionable.
Yeah, that's not the best podcast medium, I don't think.
No, no, maybe not. Maybe not. Okay, okay. So, as long as we're just spitballing all sorts of really Top Gear, you know, ideas.
Absolutely, absolutely. Yeah. But either way, we made the fire and we were making the s'mores, and the kids, these were actually the marshmallows we got, I did not realize. Have you seen the marshmallows that come? They're like square shaped. They were like flat.
I have seen these. I don't think I've used them.
Oh my gosh. They are awesome. I was like, well, someone, who would have thought there was new things you could do at marshmallow? You know, how has no one thought of this before now?
Big marshmallow is just coming through and making changes.
I know. Change the shape of your marshmallow from cylinder to like flat square.
Nice.
Innovative.
Yes. We also made s'mores. So.
Oh, well, there you go. Yeah. Did you have that kind? Did you have flat marshmallow?
No, we had they were like really large to the point where we almost had to like rip them in half.
Yeah.
Just to like make like one s'more. And it was almost like, this is like too much marshmallow.
Too much marshmallow. Yeah. But so that my kids, we also got, partly why I wanted to do it, because we got the marshmallow roasting sticks.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
In anticipation of upcoming camping trip with you guys.
Excellent.
And I was like, hey, we have a way to actually do this now, because we tried to do fire pit last week and like, we just didn't have anything to roast them with. Like we were, you know, just getting sticks from the woods and stuff, and all the sticks were not good. They were not appropriate marshmallow roasting sticks.
You gotta get one of those Japanese knives that can kind of cut all the branches off.
If only.
There's just one though.
Yeah.
And that one guy from the Outdoor Boys has it.
Right. Yeah. That's it. I gotta get his. The problem is though that like the kids then are having to like learn how to roast their own marshmallows, which is like there's so much more of an art to it than you'd think.
Yes.
Because what happens, of course, immediately, is that they're holding them over the fire and the marshmallows catch on fire.
See, that's why you got to do the 3-second thing. So 350 degrees, perfect for marshmallow roasting.
Yeah, that probably would have been the move. I should try and teach them that next time. But inevitably, yeah, now they have the marshmallow on fire and they don't want a burnt marshmallow. And so you're like, blow on it. And they're without moving the marshmallow, they're like, you're like, no, you got to bring it up to your face. But then you realize like, wait, what I'm telling them is to bring is that like, and you're saying it with like some urgency because you want them to, you know, they have to do it faster. The longer it's burning, the worse it becomes.
Right.
Right. So you're like saying it with urgency. But then if you like, as you're saying it, you're like, if I say it with urgency, they might try and like bring it to their face with urgency.
Right.
And I don't want them to bring this flaming piece of sugar up to their face on top of like the little fork thing or whatever. So then you're like, wait, hand it to me. But then they're bringing it to your face. And you're like, wait, no, hold on. It's like, so figuring it out. And then even if they get it up there quickly and they blow it out, if it's burnt, they don't want it.
Yeah.
Yeah. And then it's like, well, now I was already roasting my own marshmallow, so I don't know what to do with this marshmallow.
You'll notice that mine, Exhibit A, you know, is golden brown.
Perfectly golden brown. And like, can I just have yours? And you're like, uh-huh, sure, it's fine. Or they'll try and get it off their fork with their bare fingers, which then they either touch the hot metal and the marshmallow, or just one of the other, neither combination is good.
Yeah.
Yeah. So we were dealing with a lot of like paper towel, wet nap, no one eating a lot of marshmallows, people dropping marshmallows, people burning them, moving fire. And he's like, this is,
it's like, are we having fun?
Are we having fun? I was having fun. I was enjoying myself. I was drinking one of my peanut butter jelly beers out there.
Hey, yes. Look at you go. Was it amazing?
It was amazing. It was like for the king or something. It was like the Elvis one, which means it was peanut butter jelly and banana.
Hey-o.
Yes, and it was so good. It was so good. It was probably might be my new favorite one.
What is the name of this brewery again?
Zuul. X-U-L.
Nice.
Yeah, in Knoxville, Tennessee.
Okay.
If anyone wants to send me peanut butter jelly beer, thank you so much. It's so good. I can't get it here.
Yeah. Well, Morgan sent you a fair bit.
She did. I've been working through them. I've been working through them. They are so tasty. And like, this is going to sound weird. I like banana flavored beer. And this was great. Like one of my first favorite beers ever was called the Bridge Builder Blonde. And they served it to Parkway Brewing Company. And for some reason, they stopped making it. And it drives me crazy. And like since then, I have like once found another beer that like came close. And I was like, it was at Twisted Track, another Roanoke Brewing Company.
Yeah.
And it had that like same like banana-y flavor to it. And I was like, this is great. I found the replacement. Amazing. It's here. And I like this brewery better. cool, but it was like a seasonal thing. So after the season ended, it disappeared and it hasn't come back. And everywhere I go, this is all I'm looking for. Every new brewery, I'm like, maybe this is the one.
Maybe this is the
one. Maybe this is the one.
Yeah.
And then they don't. Everyone uses the... Because every brewery these days, they're like, we got to have like one beer for each slot of beer.
Yeah.
We got to have like your Belgian and your blonde and your Kolsch and your dark and your porter and your whatever, IPA. Whatever. Your IPA, yes. Your juicy IPA. That's the hot fuzz right now.
Yeah.
Which, to be fair... It's really good. It's usually what I end up getting. Because I'll tell you what they do is they fill their blonde or Belgium spot with some fruity tooty stupid thing.
Tell us more about how you feel.
It's annoying because it's my favorite kind of beer, but they always ruin it by making it like grapefruit or like something extra like fruity. And I just want a regular wheat beer.
Wheat
beer. And or I want it to have the banana flavor. And they never do. They never do. There's some Sierra Nevada Men has. They make such a beer. It is labeled like it has the banana flavor in it as part of like the hop flavor to it. And I was like, this is amazing. Sierra Nevada is nearby. I must be able to get this at the store. And you can't. They only sell it there at the brewery.
Okay, new podcast idea.
Yeah.
Bros, Buds, and Beers.
Bros, Buds, and Beers.
It's you and I, but we bring on a guest, and every single time we drink a beer.
That sounds like pretty fun.
Yeah.
Yeah. I like it.
I like it. Yeah.
I like it.
Yeah. We're going to have to find a lot of guests.
Yeah.
We're going to run out of people we know pretty fast.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. All right. New plan. Yep. I mean, I come up with a new podcast idea like basically every day.
All the time. There's so many things that could be a podcast.
Right. Yeah. I mean, there's unlimited opportunities.
Unlimited. Only limited by the time it takes to create them.
Exactly. Which we are limited.
Yes. We were doing so good when we came back from tour and we got like ahead. And then like the Japan trip, it was like, well, we were ahead enough to where that wasn't a super big headache. But now we're back to where we were.
Yeah. Actually, it also didn't help because I got a new tattoo last week.
You did get a new tattoo last week. How have we waited an hour into this podcast to bring up the fact that you got a tattoo?
I have no idea. Permanently changed myself once again.
What do you know? All right. Tell us all about your tattoo, Ben.
Okay. So I got a it's funny because like there are lots of like lunar phase tattoos out there, like lots of like different designs.
Yeah.
And to be honest with you, I actually always really like them. I don't know what it is about like the moon,
mm-hmm.
but I like the moon.
The moon, yeah. You know, it's the biggest thing in the sky.
So here was the thing is that besides the sun, I had found a tattoo design that I really, really wanted, and I was like determined to do it, but I couldn't figure out like how to like modify it in like a way that would make it like kind of my own, because I felt like the actual design was just like too simple.
Mm-hmm.
But it was very like outer space. If I'd had like a theme to it, I'm not going to say exactly what it is because I might still get it someday.
Okay.
But in kind of like trying to like patrol through, I ended up finding like a different rabbit hole that I went down, and I found this like German priest from like the 1600s who was doing these like early scientific illustrations of like all sorts of like different things, like fascinating human being. But one of the things that he drew was this like really cool depiction of like the Earth, if you can imagine, in like the center, and it's got like an eyeball in the Earth, and that's sort of like the perspective. And then all around it is a whole bunch of like circles that show like the different sort of like slides of like where the lunar phase would be relative to then what is up above it, a sun. And so the sun is kind of like shining in the direction of the moon and the Earth, and then it's sort of like showing you based on all these different perspectives which lunar phase would be happening, you know, where. And so I don't know, I think like what I really liked about it to me was that it matched the aesthetic that I was going for. It was, you know, this like lunar space type situation that I think I really like resonate with. And then also like the theme of the tattoo is sort of this idea that like in a world that we live in right now, where if there are like so many different perspectives, one of the things that we all see the same is the moon.
Yeah.
So it's like no matter where you are on Earth, you're like seeing the same face of the moon. I think it's flipped depending on which side of the hemisphere you're on. So like it can be like theoretically like upside down.
Okay.
Based on how you look at it, but still it's the same face.
Right.
You're still dealing with the same like lunar phase. So anyway, that was kind of like, okay, like I feel like that is enough meaning to me, and I got it like on like my upper quad, on like my thigh, on my right leg, and whoo, man, I'll tell you what, like it was a spicy experience.
Yeah,
for sure. Yeah, like I mean, I got it done. It's Monday now. I got it done last Thursday. Oh no, did we lose our camera?
Uh oh, I don't know. No signal.
Oh no. At least we're kind of right here at the end. It's okay.
Okay. All right.
All right. So if you were watching us, you can't see us anymore. But anyway, yeah. So it's it was really interesting because like I feel like I got my first one and I kind of got through like the pain of that one like rather quickly. And this one I'm like it still stings quite a bit. I was definitely like there was a couple moments where I was like okay I'm just grating my teeth. It's okay. Pain is temporary. You know.
Yeah.
It'll be all right.
Pain is temporary. Glorious forever.
Exactly. So anyway, new tattoo, kind of a huge development. And the really crazy thing for me was my first tattoo. I had found this like artist that, you know, was, from Budapest and, you know, lives in Budapest. And I was like, you know, I had the whole conversation, like, am I going to travel to like Hungary
to get a tattoo.
And then I lucked out that he was like going to be in the United States and still ended up needing to travel to like New York City. But it was under like very specific circumstances and I had to be there at a very specific amount of time to cross paths with like his residency and to like get the slot. And, you know, it was just all this stuff to make it happen. And then this time I like found somebody locally that was like willing to do the design, which I also learned the design was like super non-agreeable for like lots of artists because it's like all perfect circles and like straight lines, which I think is, you know, on a otherwise irregular surface of like the rounded surface of like your leg is then additionally like even harder.
Like really, yeah, really difficult to do.
Yes. So I think the woman who did it was like, to her, it was a bit of like a feather in her cap like,
yeah.
to do this particular design. She was like, while I was doing it, she was like, most people would not do this. And in fact, I'd actually reached out to her husband, who is also a tattoo artist, to do it for me. And he straight up declined it. He was like, nope, I don't want to do it. And then I think she caught wind of it and was like, okay, I think I'd be willing to give it a go.
Yeah.
She did an amazing job. I was super impressed. It turned out amazing. So, new tattoo. Now, like when I'm on tour, I'm like, I have to have at least one night on the upcoming Midwest tour where I wear shorts on stage so anyone can see it.
You got to wear shorts.
Gotta wear some shorts.
Exactly.
Yeah. Speaking of the Midwest tour.
Oh, yeah.
We're coming to the Midwest.
We sure are.
And my goodness, if there was ever a time. So this is for through the Griffin Tour. So our other podcast, Through the Griffin Door.
Yeah.
Is once again going on tour starting mid-September. I think September 15th is the kickoff of the tour. We're doing 8 shows in 10 days. We're going Indianapolis, St. Louis, Des Moines, St. Paul, Milwaukee, Chicago, Detroit, and Cleveland.
Yes.
And dude, we launched this tour by the time this episode goes live 1 week ago. Within like 24 hours of the tickets going on sale, we had across all 8 shows, 3 VIP tickets left total, like at all, for the VIP tickets. And then like the Midwest, if you were thinking about coming, this is the time that I would say that like there might be some pressure for availability because it was like, I don't think we've ever seen so many tickets sold so quickly.
Right.
So I think these events are, they have the potential to sell out, which I'm so excited for. It's going to be just an absolute blast. So if you'd like to come, if you'd like to see us in person and do the experience, we'll have tickets and links to all of those various places in the descriptions and everywhere. Or you can go to supercarmothers/events. We'll have all the information there as well. Supercarmothers.com/events.
Yes.
Rather. Yeah. Yeah. But tour.
It's going to be great.
It's once upon again. Once again upon us.
It is upon us again. We've also been brainstorming lots of fun, like little like merch and pins and stuff to do.
There is going to be some cool stuff. Yes. And there's like on tour, there's exclusive merch that you like that we don't have available anywhere else. And
right.
Like all sorts of just fun antics and things that don't even make it onto the internet that are just for the people who are there. So it's going to be great.
I'm so looking forward to it. Man, it feels like it's been like we have other fun things coming up throughout the year, and that's going to be that's part of it. And just been a good year so far. And I'm looking forward to heading out to the Midwest.
That's right. But guys, thank you so much as always for tuning in. If you have any feedback for the show, you can send it on over to popcornculturepod@gmail.com. Or if you just like to support Popcorn Culture, you can do that at Patreon. You can do so at patreon.com/popcornculture. But otherwise, until next time,
pop, pop.
Today's episode was edited by Isabel Chrisley. Vaishon Brandon does our art. Catherine Stein is our production manager, and the show is hosted by me and Jonathan Carlin.
Spreadsheets, clunky software, 100 different logins just to run your business? Ah.
There's a better way. Odoo. One simple, connected platform that handles sales, inventory, accounting, and more, so you can focus on growing, not juggling. Make the switch today at odoo.com. That's O-D-O-O.com.